Nerd Soul.
Ooh, ha ha. Yeah, late LK at one, y'all. So hold it down. Bring that street geek and nerd soul. What is up, my people? Today, all year, coming with another wonderful episode of, that's right, Thumbnails. We talking animated series. And I'm joined with by another guest to talk about that Star Trek, the awesome, the cultural chameleon. He runs Chopping It Up Geek on WRIR. Super homie from way back, Avery Evans. What's up?
What's good, my brother? How you doing?
Chilling, man. Glad that we got an animated series for Star Trek. We'll talk about how we feel and all that stuff in a second. But let these people know how deep your Trek runs.
Well, the Trek that runs deep has been instilled in my blood and my DNA since age 3. And probably before I was born out of the womb, because my mom probably was watching it while she was pregnant with me. But just a huge fan on a myriad of books, comic books, magazines. I own all the series, this, that, and the third. Might have gone to a few conventions or two, or a few more than two. and I was including, I was at the convention this past August to make up for me missing when I was deployed, and they made mention of Star Trek Lower Decks then, and also had a presentation about it. So we'll get into more of that later, but my Trekdom is very deep. I consider myself a Trekkyologist.
Ooh, I word up. See what you're talking about. So Lower Decks drops. We get the trailer. What's your initial reaction from it? How you feeling about it?
I was finally happy to see something and hear something, because all I had, and that's more than what most people had, was some the character profile stills with eyes blinking during a presentation that they had at a panel at Star Trek Las Vegas 2019. So I was just finally happy to see how things flowed, how the characters were moving, listening to the sound effects sounds. And the thing that I liked about this was I'm hearing them firing phasers, and it's the sounds from the Next Generation. So I'm like, okay, they got the sound effects right. It's like in the time period of, you know, TNG, Deep Space Nine, and Voyager. And it looks like it's about 20 years in the future from when TNG started, because it said, I think they said 2380 something. But the animation looked good. I really don't have no knocks, but I noticed like a lot of cartoon comedies, animated comedies, are going to that Rick and Morty style animation. Because there's a few shows that they all look alike. And I don't have a problem with it. A little bit of me is like, man, why don't we do our own little unique, or
their own way. That's where I'm coming from.
But that's not a showstopper or nothing. But it looked good, and I look forward to it. It's a new take on Trek. And Trek has always had humor in it. So that be 100% humor, I'm like, hey, I look forward to it. Something different.
All right, word. Because on my end, we've actually talked offline about, like, yo, Star Trek needs an animated series.
There was a planned one that got scrapped, but go ahead.
All right, word. So what I had in mind was something more like either about cadets or something like maybe like Gundam Wing or Gundam Seed, something that was more maybe militaristic, maybe, you know, political, military, yeah, that kind of thing. So when I saw this, there were things that kind of threw me off. Things that, there were times that I laughed, but then there were also times where I was like, because kind of like you said, you know, when everything starts to look sort of like Rick and Morty, you have Final Space, which looks kind of like Rick and Morty. You have this, which kind of looks like Rick and Morty. Hulu has a show that also is kind of in that same vein. And it's, I don't want this kind of like, if it's comedy, it's all homogenous to like this one style. But with that said, not only were there things that I rolled my eyes at, there were times that I laughed during the trailer.
Could I add something real quick?
And it does
here?
Look good. I do like the way it moves.
Could I add something to your homogenous comment real quick?
Go ahead.
Society has turned homogenous. So whether you like it or not, it actually it always has been, but it's worse now. You know what I'm saying? You know?
Yeah.
If something works, then everybody copies it. You've seen this in hip hop. You've seen this on television. You know, after talking to some of my older black friends, they were basically saying Friends copied off of Living Single. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So if something works here in America, we always come and try to repeat it with a copy. And we're way worse than we, I mean, we've always done it. Don't you look back, it's always happened. But to me, I feel like ever since the early 2000s and on, I mean, look at how many remakes come out. If you look at your cities now, they're starting to become homogenous instead of having their own flavor because of gentrification. You know, you get all the same companies get the contracts to build these very quickly built apartments that have shops at the bottom, and they all start looking the same. And you start seeing your cities that had a life of their own all start looking alike, not having distinct features that made it known for its city. You see people start all dressing alike.
Good point.
You know, everybody used to dress different. When I was in college, I could tell where everybody was from by how they dressed and how they spoke. But now with the internet coming out, while the internet is good, this to me is one of the bad things about the internet. It saps people of its creativity. People just want to copycat. So this is nothing but a microcosm.
Yeah, because to a certain degree, I guess you could say everybody at their core just wants to be accepted. So in that wanting to be accepted, they fall into this kind of like copycat kind of nature without, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Trying to step out on their own and stuff.
Yeah. And then, you know, it's particularly, like I said, one example I gave was music. You know, rap music is that, because now all rap music sounds the same. Every producer sounds the same. You know, like when we were younger, if you were in New York, yeah, they were from New York, but you knew there were different groups, cliques or whatever, that had their own sonic sound within themselves. And the same thing in the East, in the West, in the South, or whatever. But now everything sounds the same. So that's all I wanted to say about that. Is just
I feel you on that one. I feel you that of that one. And I talked with the homie Robert Jeffrey yesterday, who's a writer on tons of sci-fi comic books and novels and stuff. He was talking about how there is another animated series that's supposed to be planned for Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
That will hopefully be different as well. So then in that case, that'll kind of like feed that kind of creative look as far as this one. Because this one, I'm on the fence, but I'm on board on the fence. I'm like, I'm more on than off. I hope it's good, because if it's good, then it'll be something fun to watch. Always down. I was just watching some animated stuff yesterday. I was getting ready to watch some Gundam, and I watched some Rick and Morty yesterday. Finished up season 4 or whatever. But it's one of those things where it's like, please be good.
What are you on the fence about?
Just some of the humor that didn't really, it seemed like tired and like not inventive. Like the teasing about the captain's log at the beginning, we've kind of seen that shtick before. And then the blast shield part where she was like blast shields and like singing and stuff, I was like but then there were also parts that I thought were really dope that I laughed at. Even to a certain degree, I thought the part where he was naked trying to like chill, acting like he was baller, I laughed at that. So there were parts that I was like, yo, I think this is funny. Then there were parts where I was like, but I'm still more on than off. I'll say that. Because it looks great. I think it does look great. I just wish that we had a different look, because I'm like, I feel like Star Trek is one of those things, kind of like Star Wars or Lord of the Rings or something. Like, things of that should kind of set themselves apart from other stuff. Mm-hmm. But I also get, you know, like, yo, we trying to make money. Like, look, we trying to get this dough, and we ain't playing up in here.
Yeah.
So
back in the
but
day,
with that said,
sorry.
No, you go ahead.
A few years ago, I saw some stills and drawings for an animated series that they were trying to have that would have bridged, like, the first J.J. Kelvin Burst movie to the second, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But because of what was going on with J.J. and Paramount at the time, they never got it off of just, you know, perspective sketches and all of that. And that looked like that was about to be an action type cartoon, not comedic, you know. And J.J. wanted to do more with the franchise than what I guess Paramount wanted to do, and it just never took off. But I have that, those pictures in a couple of magazines and stuff where they had teased that and were talking about they were in talks and doing it, but it never got off the launch pad. So, and I think the show on Nickelodeon, while it would probably be more action adventure oriented, it's going to be more kiddie fied, because Nickelodeon really don't have no hardcore action animation or cartoons. No American cartoons are like that, really. You know what I mean? It's all like this kind of gimmicky, jokey joke fluff stuff now, you know?
Well, maybe if they were able to strike that tone, kind of like Young Justice, Korra, Voltron, like where it's accessible to kids, but it's not childish, you know what I'm saying? Like, maybe if they're able to get that tone where it's like it's young enough, but it's not like it's not Barney.
See, I don't think that's gonna happen, because it sounds like it's gonna come on Nickelodeon. Now, this is on a streaming service, they probably could do that, but anything that comes on cable now, they're not doing action and adventure unless you're looking for cartoons on Toonami. You know what I'm saying? Anything non animated. Anime that Americans make now is that Adventure Time, Fluffy Puffy stuff. They even did that to the Ninja Turtles.
Oh, like Gumball or something like that.
Yeah, they even did that to the Ninja Turtles. You know, I mean, American animation, if you want to be real, they're a true victim of homogenization. These kids don't know all the stuff we knew. I mean, you've got the Fluffy Puffy version of Thundercats, but look at that.
Yeah, because that kind of got born out of the
Adventure Time, all of
Gumball,
that.
Gumball, Steven Universe, yeah, kind of energy.
Yeah.
And the thing is, Steven Universe was, it was kind of like set apart from its own, but now that there's been so many kind of like copycats, and I tried watching it, it's not for me, but I mean, at least I do know that it has a distinct look that's different all to itself. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Now, are you referring to Steven Universe or the new Thundercats?
Talking about Steven Universe.
Oh, okay.
And then Thundercats kind of comes with its energy that's like similar to it, similar to Gumball, Steven Universe, kind of like Teen Titans Go kind of thing, where they're kind of like mashing it all together, where it's like very, almost like toys. Like, almost kind of looking like toys, like very round edges, very kind of soft, like you said, like puffy kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And basically served only for comedy, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Which I'm not totally against. It's just, once again, you know, since we're talking about Star Trek, I was expecting something to kind of like go, kind of push it a little bit, like push the envelope a little bit as far as kind of like production quality or tech, especially when you look at a show where I know you're not super on board, but like a show like I really like, which is Discovery. I feel like with the technology, with the production quality, they kind of tried to push with that joint. Even with Picard to a certain degree. But with this, it kind of seems like they maybe wanted to take it a little safer, I guess. But I mean, I guess, you know, you got to do what you got to do to see if people are even interested in a animated Star Trek series.
Well, I feel like in certain cases, American animation don't put the money into it like they used to. I mean, you don't have animation houses right. like Hanna-Barbera and some of the other Titans that we grew up on back in the 80s and the early 90s. So the reason why Discovery and Picard get the big production is because Netflix and Amazon fronted them a bunch of money and they spent it on the special effects, and that's why the special effects are the best outside of the latest JJ verse movies, the best special effects you've ever seen in your life. You know what I mean?
Man, yo, Discovery, like, yo, they are not playing, son. They got cash.
So, but the cartoon side, I mean, who fronted the money? I mean, I don't know who it is. We know it's coming on CBS All Access, but it doesn't have the big silent backer like Discovery has. Netflix and Amazon backs up Picard, you know, and I want to see who's going to end up backing up Strange New Worlds when that comes out. Are they going to put that on Hulu, or are they going to put that on another streaming service that's out there? But they got to figure out, well, they can't go but so far with too many streaming services, because since they're CBS, they're not going to go to competition to push them, say like Hulu, who's owned by, who owns Hulu? Is that Disney now?
Disney is basically the owner of
Hulu. Yeah, so they're not going to do that, and they won't go to HBO Max, because that's AOL, Warner Brothers, all of that. And so they're probably, I don't know who they'll go with, probably ping pong between Amazon and Netflix, possibly, but like, you know, it'll True. Come on Netflix and Amazon outside of the U.S. So,
and CBS will get that U.S. money.
Yeah.
man. So you did mention seeing kind of these character profiles of Star Trek Lower Decks earlier. How was the like the feeling in the room around, you know, these character profiles and like the panel on it or whatever? Like how was everybody kind of receiving it back then?
Everybody was cool with it in the room, you know. As they broke down all the different characters and stuff, one thing I noticed, I think the young black woman that they showed in the trailer, I think she's the de facto leader of the little hodgepodge group of the Lower Decks, I think. So that's cool. But in the room, things were cool, calm and copacetic. Everyone seemed excited. But then you get behind the cloak of your computer and people are just whining and crying and complaining already before the show even comes out. And, you know, I just come to the grips with that's how Americans and maybe people outside of the country are now, but especially Americans, we like to criticize and talk trash and complain and gripe about something before it come out. And I made a post about the trailer for Lower Decks, and I've seen other people post the trailer, and I look on other people's pages and people are like complaining and like, oh, I don't like this and all this blah 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 blah. And so I had a couple of friends, they didn't do that on my page because I kind of got like unwritten rules on my page. Don't come on my page with a bunch of negativity. And so a couple of my friends were like, we're going to wait and see what you say first before we watch it. And one guy said, yeah, I'm going to wait for you, but I heard a lot of hate for the show. And I basically wrote, I was like, there's several rules to being a fandom of shows now. One, don't pay attention to the hate. A lot of the same people that are hating or being negative are the same people that will watch the show. Like, it's not like people are saying this and then they're not going to watch the show. They're going to hate on the show but still watch it. And it's like, I don't operate like that. If there's something I don't like, I don't support it and don't watch it, like reality TV.
Thank you.
And other shows. And then I also said, I'm the person, I don't pay attention to reviews. I never read a review because I found out very quickly there are people who are paid to say stuff is bad and there are people to say stuff is good. And there's been stuff that I've seen that people kept saying was good and I watched it. I'm like, this is trash. And there's stuff that people have said was bad and it actually was good. So I don't read reviews or none of that. Some people do, they got to read something, and I'm like, I don't want to have no one influencing my perspective of something when I want to see it. And I also told my friend, when I want to see something, I'm going to see it no matter what no one has to say. So you can sit there and say it's trash, trash, trash. If I'm interested in it, I'm going to watch it no matter what and let my own eyes and brain determine whether it's good or not. So.
Word up, word up. All right, so when you were there, this is the last convention you were at, right?
Yes.
All right, so that's something that I wanted to talk about, too. When you're at conventions, so you were at the convention, they showed the character profiles, they talked about the animated series, and everybody seemed pumped, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so see, that's that weird disconnect where, you know, like, you're there, everybody watches it, and people seem receptive, they're having a good time, they're interested, they're talking about it, they're discussing, you know, what could happen, what will happen, whatever. And, you know, it all seems generally in an open, like, open and receptive kind of vibe. But then, like you said, once you get to the computer, it's like, nah, I hate it. Because I did see a lot of hate going this way. And I was like, even though there were some moments where I was like, this is homogenous, I was like, for the most part, I'm like, yo, let's see what happens. You know what I'm saying? My door, I don't think I've closed the door on anything in Star Trek since CBS All Access, even though I wish it didn't have to be behind a paywall. But Robert Jeffrey did make a good point yesterday where he was talking about, like, when it comes to genre TV and stuff, it seems like budgets are getting smaller and smaller and smaller. So I do see where business-wise that could come from. But it, for the most part, Star Trek, since Discovery, has been cool. I've had a couple of issues with Picard. We talked about them. But for the most part, I'm like, it seems like, you know what? It seems like they have a plan of what they want to do.
I mean, they're basically pulling a Marvel.
When it seems like they actually have a plan, as opposed to people that are in control of the Justice League, I'll leave that alone. When it seems like they have a plan, then it's more like, word, cool, what you got? Because they were like, here's Discovery. Here's Picard. We got Section 31 coming. We got Pike's joint is coming. Here's an animated series. It seems like they know where, you know, they're the captain of their ship. And I'm like, word. It seems like y'all have a plan. Y'all know what y'all want to do with this. And I'm interested.
Well, all they're doing is just, they want to have, I've read, Kurtzman, who's in charge of the franchise now, he wants to have Star Trek on year-round. So they're basically pulling a Marvel Netflix thing where, you know, Luke Cage comes out in May, then something else comes out about August, September, and then you got another show round you out round about December-ish. You see what I'm saying? And so
I'm not against that. If it's good, bring it on.
Yeah, so, but I'm just saying that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to always have some type of Star Trek out. And so a lot of fans will be like, where's Discovery Season 3? I suspect that they're not going to release that probably till November and December. That way it can bleed over into 2021. And then by the time that ends, I guess Strange New Worlds, hopefully it'll be ready, but we don't know what's going to happen because of the corona list.
Yeah, because they're trying to get, right now. Like you said, they're trying to get their calendar filled up now. So it's like, we want this to lead to this and this to lead to this. Because the Section 31 joint, I'm definitely interested in that.
Well, see, I don't know when that's coming out. They kind of start put more focus on Strange New Worlds Section 31 is still kind of like slapping out in the wind. I still believe
it's still
kind
of, yeah.
But one thing, when they announced Strange New Worlds, I was like 50-50 on it. Not that I hate it, but I was just like, you know, I don't want them to stretch themselves too thin, one. And two, I don't want them to go a la Star Wars, where a lot of people have Star Wars fatigue. But I feel that they were...
Well, I'll say this. As far as a Star Wars fan, I don't know if it's Star Wars fatigue or if... As someone who loves Star Wars, I'd say I love Star Wars more than Star Trek, even though I enjoy them both. As someone who could say that he's at least a slight representative of the Star Wars side, I think that your fan base may be, at least from the outside looking in, seems to be a little more civilized than mine.
Hey, at the end of the day, bro, as the coronalypse has proven, no one's civilized. No one is civilized, bro.
Corona people, timeline, boy.
But, I mean, even before Corona hit, I don't care what it is. I mean, you got people hating on the DC stuff super hard. You got people that, some people that hate Marvel. Hate is just there, you know. If they could form...
Built up in your heart.
I mean, if they could form a group, man, there's a lot of people that would be in that group right now. I just feel like people love exuding their negative energy a lot. And just the way our country's cultured, you know, negativity sells. And people think that being negative gets them attention and can get them some type of, you know, status. You know what I'm saying? But
my
point was, from my point of view, I've met diehard Star Wars fans, and some of them are like, yo, I hate the trilogy that Disney put out. And these are like some dudes that own some strict action figures, books, all that stuff. You know what I'm saying? So as I watched Star Trek add all these shows, I was just like, man, I hope they don't put so much stuff out at one time that you get fatigued. But as I see what they're doing now, and I said this before, I was like, if they do like how Marvel did with the Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, Iron Fist, and Daredevil series, where they spread it out and pop some out every third quarter or so of the year, this could work. You know what I'm saying? So...
In a way like that, the shows are different enough to give you a different flavor.
Yeah. So I think they're doing it. I'm going to go and air with them. I think their plan is sound and solid. And it's good that you're going to get something like, you know, we got Picard earlier, animated series, Lower Decks. And then now you're going to get season 3 of Discovery. Then I guess... sometime next year, you're going to get Strange New Worlds, maybe Picard Season 2, then, I guess, Section 31, and then they'll come back around the wheelhouse for Discovery. You see what I'm saying? But all depends on how the filming for and everything goes with everything going through the corona, you know?
Man, yo, there it is. So, with that said, guys, Star Trek gonna be all right. I think even as someone who is still on the fence but open to it, I think Star Trek gonna be all right, y'all. I've seen a lot of vast hate for it, and I'm like, even though there were some parts of the trailer that I wasn't digging, I'm not ready to throw the show away. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, yo, I think Star Trek gonna be all right. I think Lower Decks, especially depending on how season 1 may transition to season 2, we might have something that grows into something that becomes people's favorites. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's like, I'm sitting here, I'm waiting, I got the doors open. I'm giving it a chance. You know what I'm saying? But with that said, before we get out of here, one, I want to say thank you for rolling through and let the wonderful people know where they can find you.
You can find me at wrr.org. my show, Chopping It Up Deep, comes on every second, fourth, and fifth Tuesday of the month at noon Eastern Standard Time, 9 a.m. Western Standard Time for you left coast folk out there. Production's been a little sporadic due to the coronavirus, but that should be getting shored up in the coming weeks. And tune in and be ready to be informed and enlightened.
That's what's up. Well, guys, of course, NERD, SOUL, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Owlin Places. Holler at us. We'll holler at you down in the comments. Let's talk Star Trek, Lower Decks. Let's talk Star Trek in general. It's all good. You know, we just hanging and chilling during this Corona timeline. So, of course, from us to you, thanks for watching and peace.